sworn in that. With that glory, Your Majesty, You truly are worthy of our worship. Lord, on this season when people remember Your historical presence, Lord, the things of history, God, we appreciate that. We pray, Lord, we may be aware of Your presence today in our lives, not just generally, Lord, but very specifically. We adore You, Lord. We're here to worship You and to do Your will and nothing else. We thank You for the blood that washes away our sins. We thank You, Jesus, that by Your stripes we were healed and we do enjoy physical health, Lord. And those that do not, we know the answer's on the way. Blessed be Your name. God cannot lie. You died for our sicknesses as well as our sins. Blessed be God. Hallelujah, Lord. We rejoice in that foundation that's under our feet of Your word. We praise You, Lord, that You died on our behalf, suffered the sinner's agony, that we might be saved, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the wrath of God.
Hallelujah.
You're lifted up by the might of God and are now in control. Hallelujah. Not an angel, not some being that we cannot understand, but a man is in control upon the highest throne. We bless Your name. Hallelujah. We know You're coming again as the lawful King of this world. And we worship You, Lord, already. Your rule has begun in our hearts. Hallelujah, Lord. And we hail You today as rightful King of all.
Yes,
and especially of our own lives. Blessed be Your name. Lord, we thank You for each and every one that's here. Lord, we know that each one of us has many burdens today, many perplexities, many dreads, many hopes. Lord, whatever they are, God knows. So we pray, Lord, as we continue, that every need will be met. We profess to be able to do nothing. Nothing whatsoever, Lord. We lean on the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord Jesus, that Your will be done in each and every life and in the loved ones represented here. In the children, Lord, all of us, the will of God will be here. Forgive us our many sins, Lord, as we freely forgive those who sin against us. Cleanse our hearts from all malice. Cleanse us, Lord, from all that is not like unto Thee. We know You're calling to us very, very strongly in these days. We do not come short of the glory of God. We do not ask that we or our loved ones would be comfortable. We ask, O God, that we will be Thy covenant people, and the things which are displeasing to Thee will be pruned back. And we will partake of Thy covenant of circumcision in our hearts, and we will be under the blood of the Lamb. And this will be true of us and of our loved ones, and we will be saved, Lord. That is our prayer. Lead us. We do not lean upon our own understanding. We commit our ways unto Thee to the detail, and we believe the word. So, Lord, we present ourselves, all of us together, unto You this day. And we say, help, O God, help, and continue us on this day that we may continue to love You and serve You and fight the fight of faith. We thank You for the answer in Jesus' matchless name. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn in our Bible to Ephesians. Philippians, the first chapter. We're going to read together verses 1 through 6. Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. We'll read together in the King James. Philippians. Good thing Paul didn't get his way in the first chapter of Philippians, go to be with the Lord, because if he had, Ephesians wouldn't have been written. And if that hadn't happened, then how could I make such mistakes? Praise the Lord. Okay. God knows what He's doing. So that's how we trust Him. Philippians, the first chapter, verses 1 through 6, read in concert in the King James. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. A-E-I-O. I hear the going in the mulberry trees. There we go. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ,
to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you know, and I just noticed something in verse 1, the word is Philippi. Well, I've never heard that in my life. Philippi. Well, Philippi it's going to be. Timotheus and Philippi. All right, notice in verse 1, very, very important concept for our day. The Paul and Timotheus are servants of Jesus Christ. We find a tendency in our own day, don't we, of trying to make Jesus Christ our servant. I misspoke myself Friday night, as I usually do. And I said, oh Lord, help us to make you in our image. Or no, what was it? We are the potter and you are the clay. That's a classic. All right. Well, that's about it, isn't it? We are the potter and God is the clay. Well, it doesn't quite work out that way. The servants, and this word is doulos, which means a bond servant. We had a teacher in our school get in trouble. He's teaching the kids that are slaves of Jesus Christ. Well, he's exactly right. But it was too rich for the parents' blood. So we have got a switch around to do. We've got a lot of darkness in our land, a lot of deception. Come on now, stay with me. Help me to be a positive preacher here and all this, this negativism we have to come out with. Because we are set today for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. We've got to realize that we're going to have to contend for the faith which was delivered to the saints, because it is being attacked and watered down and warped and changed on every side. And one is, brother and sister, we are the slaves of Jesus Christ. We are the servants of the Lord. And what he says we do, we don't change it. Whatever the Bible says, that's it. Amen. Whether it's democratic, whether we understand it, whether we like it, whether it makes us popular or unpopular, or whether it goes in line with our education or our theology or our whatever, it is the Word, that is it. We are the servants of Jesus Christ with all that implies. And what he says we do. And we are not called to find out good ways to serve God. We are called to find out the will of Christ. And that requires prayer, and it requires patience, and it requires knowledge, and it requires meeting with fervent Christians. God help us to have a fervent, God-fearing, cross-centered church. Because it's no longer possible to be a lone ranger. You can't get some good thing going with your wife or something and be a little on to yourself. We're past that time. We have got to join together. It's my protection to be with a community of God's people. As we move along in the things of God, any one of us can get off, myself included. And you are my safety. You can instantly aware if I'm going off. You can help me to learn. And conversely, for you two and the other saints, our safety is with each other, because there is so much spiritual darkness that we don't see it. I know that. You can't see spiritual darkness. But God has told me, I think, 200 times or more in the last 4 years, don't talk about the darkness to come. It is here. And little by little, as we go into the Word and see how it's different from what we're doing in an American understanding of the gospel, brother and sister, the darkness is here. And it is in all of us, and rebellion is in us. And little by little, the Lord is showing us, I'm not impressed with all your education, wealth, and highfalutin notions in America. You're going to have to be humble and fall at my feet and confess that I am Lord and you are my slaves. Amen. Amen. The slaves of Jesus Christ. The bond slaves, New American Standard says. To all the saints. Now, by and large, Christian people were not called Christians. It's only used twice in the Bible, the word Christian. The word Christian is a diminutive of Christ. That means disciple. The disciples were called Christians. But it primarily means the anointing, the little anointed ones. Although some suspect it was first used in derision. These are the little Christ, the little Christians. But we use it a great deal. But I like the Bible term saints. The word saint means what?
No.
Holy one. Holy one. To the holy ones. A Christian, a believer, is essentially a holy person. That's how we differ from the world around us. We are holy. The word holy has a little different connotation than righteous. The tabernacle was holy, but it was not righteous. The word holy means to be set apart to God for His unique purposes. That's the positive side. The negative side means what? Do you know? To be clean of evil spirits. The word holy has a positive connotation of being set aside peculiarly unto God, and a negatively it means to be completely purged out from evil spirits. That's what the word holy means. The tabernacle was holy. It was clean. It was pure. It was set aside unto God. Well, we believers are holy ones. We are saints. Every one of us is a saint, in name at least, if we're a Christian. Now the part is to get our lives to match up to it. If we are not living a holy life, we are not Christians, period. We are, well, we're Christians, we're believers, but we've got a ways to go. And God is dealing with us today to get the world out of the church, to get the works of the flesh out of the church, to get our rebellion and our pride out of the church, and the last things that are hanging out of the church, and make it holy, because it's no use to God until it is. It is no use to God when the world is in it, none whatsoever. It's good for the dunghill. Salt that has lost its savor. You'd have 5 million people professing to be Christian. If they're not holy, they're worthless. It's just dung. That's all it is. That's plain talk. That's Bible talk, saints. That's Bible talk. That's what our Lord said. It's fit for the dunghill. That's all it is. Where the church must be holy and pure. Saints. The saints which are at Philippi. Paul, help me remember that, will you? The saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now I want to call that to your attention. We have, as we go into the things of the Spirit and everything, there is a tendency to do away with law and order. You have to have law and order in the church of God, or all you have is a mess. There were bishops and deacons. Literally there were, I think I'll go into my New American Standard at this point. The overseer. The word bishop to us, yeah, it implies somebody with a, you know, something. Black cat, like I guess. It merely means that there are people in the church who are charged with the responsibility of the church. Now, we have had this tendency as we've fled out from the churches with a lot of structure to want no structure, but it will not work that way. If you cannot submit yourself to the rule of the church, you'll never grow in Christ, never in a million years. The day of the Lone Ranger is over. There are overseers in the church of God, and God help them because they bear a responsibility, and they need your prayers. All right, the overseers and the deacons, the word there merely means a minister. In other words, it's anyone who's helping in any way in the church. So the church has overseers and it has workers, and these were addressed along with the saints. So a good, healthy church has saints, it has an overseer or overseers, and those who serve in various capacities. Grace to you. Grace, meaning in the gospel, it means first forgiveness of our sins against the moral law. Secondly, it means the power to quit sinning against the moral law. And it means generally the favor and blessing of God, green pastures and still waters. Grace to you. The goodness of God, the favor of God. Be upon you, holy people, with your overseers and your helpers. And peace. And brother, sister, is there anything that's more needed in the world today than the peace of God? What a treasure. We may not realize that today, but maybe there may be some here today who are feeling the tremendous pressure, the spiritual pressure that is coming to pass in these days. And your head feels like a rotten melon. And you know, peace is a treasure. You cannot buy it with money. I mean, you could be Andrew Mellon III. You cannot buy peace with money. It comes as the gift of God. And you know, June, I would rather be able to lay down my head at night and go to sleep and, you know, like a baby and snore the snore of faith and wake up in the morning and know I'm a servant of the Lord. I'd rather have that right now than 2,000 net spendable every month, any day in the week. Peace. Peace. That knowledge that my program is right with God and my children are under the blood and the family is under the blood and covenant people and praying for the relatives, that's the only thing that matters, saints. The rest of it is just a hindrance. You know what? Peace. Peace. Do you have peace today? Or is there a dread that's filling your life? So much dread today, saints. So much fear. So much wondering. Jesus, what does the future hold? Peace. Grace. And peace from God. I know that you have burdens. I know some of your burdens. I'm glad I don't know all of them. I wouldn't make it, I believe. Praise the Lord. But God can give us peace. Not by taking us off the earth, but right now in the midst of this mess, He can give us peace. Hallelujah. I don't care what Antichrist does. I could not care less. God will give us peace. Amen. Amen. I thank my God all in remembrance of you. You know, the Philippian. Yeah, I think Philippian's still in the book. All right. The church at Philippi. Was doing all right. They say that there is less rebuke in the book of Philippians than in any other of Paul's epistles. This was a wonderful, strong church. They suffered a lot. They bore with Paul. And they another thing they stood out for was contributing to Paul's support. They sent once and again. In fact, he was sending this letter. Paul was in the Phoca at this time. He was in jail. He, as I told you before, he had been moved from his hired house in Rome where he'd been chained to a Roman guard, but at least he was free to dispute with the Jews. Isn't it wonderful that the book of Acts ends with an argument? Paul is saying, look, if you don't want to do it, you go your way and I'll go. I think that's wonderful. It helps us, you know, when we get our religion too nice. The book of Acts is a tough little Jew arguing with a lot of people. And that's the way the book of Acts ends. Only it doesn't end. If you notice the way, there's no end to it. It's a continued story. Arguing, disputing, rebuking, exhorting, encouraging, warning. Still going on. And if people don't agree with you, you don't try to be real nice. You can't get along with everybody. Won't if you do. So in the book of Acts, then Paul says, look, I've had enough of this. I'm one of the Gentiles. I like his spirit. I think that's right. Then you know where you're at. Is that good English? Bill, where's the parliament here? All right, here we go. Now, he offered up prayer with joy because this was about the fourth time that this church had sent to him a material offering by the hand of Epaphroditus. They had sent this money, and with all their persecution and affliction, they were trying to help Paul so he could help the other churches, and they're standing with him in tribulation. You remember back in Acts at Philippi? They'd had the trouble that they did, and Paul and Silas ended up in the brig, and it was quite an uproar. But they were contributing to his support, and he just considered them fellow workers sent for the defense of the gospel. There were people that he could count on. They were solid. They weren't like the Galatians bewitched, or like the Corinthians were sent in the midst, or the Romans trying to figure out whether they were Jews or Gentiles. This was one church that was with it. Hallelujah. And Paul was writing to them from the guardhouse, the bodyguard, the Praetorian bodyguard attached to Caesar's palace. Paul now had been brought to a place, you can imagine, a man of holiness and of prayer, and he was confined in a barracks. All he saw all day and heard all day was soldiers. And I don't know if you studied about the Roman soldiers, but they were brutal, brutal people. And Paul did not have a nice superannuated retirement. He was in under close supervision because his first trial was near under Nero, and out of this tremendous confinement, he had been moved from his hired house because his case was drawn near, as I said, and because there was a general palace uproar at this time. This is around A.D. 62 or 63. The scholars are positive this was written about 5 or 6 years before he was martyred. And Nero was a madman. He murdered his mother, and the whole thing was in an uproar. He'd got rid of Octavia's wife and all, and that's what the man was living in. I say that because We tend to think of these things as nice little scholarly treatises that came out of some pastor's library. This was a man in jail having to put up with swearing and filthy talking and rudeness and every kind of stuff that must have been hard to take for a Christian man. And you think you got problems. Now that's why the book of Philippians was written. Praise the Lord. So get that concept now. God isn't going to make everything perfect and then you're going to serve Him. The good things of God come out of the worst circumstances. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. He was thinking of them with joy because they were standing for your fellowship in the gospel. From the first day until now, they had stood right with Paul. The word there for fellowship is participation. They are participation in the support. They are participated in the tribulation. They were standing with Paul. They were not just waiting for Paul to do things for him. They were sharing. They were participating. You're participating in the gospel. And I think that's one of the messages for our time, isn't it? That we're no longer just attending a comfortable church. I see this church as an armed camp. I've said the same thing since we've been here. People bear witness that have been here from the beginning. We never have changed. This is not a conventional church. It is an armed camp. And our prayer is that God will send us warriors and strong people who are ready to fight and who can take the word. Because it's not going to get easier, it's going to get harder. And I need your support because I don't intend to change. I'm going to preach what God has given me. And the only way I can do it is when you're back in there saying amen. It cannot be done against resistance. I tell you, it will cut it off. It'll cut off a gift. So it's what comes forth. There's a lot depend on your attitude and your prayer. Now we found that out last Thursday night. Things do not work alone. And when you're in there saying, amen, sic'em, I can take it, let's go, Lord, then God is going to flow. And you sit back and you say, oh boy, he's too hard, he's too negative, he's this and that and everything. Well, you won't get much. Because I'm a lousy speaker. It's only the anointing. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. It's a participation. It's a participation. And that's what Paul was saying. It helped. Then he says, I am confident of this very thing. This is a wonderful verse of assurance. I am confident, Paul says, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said to Laodicea, I am the first and the last. You know, Christ is a great starter and he's a terrific finisher. And if God has begun something in your life, he is not going to quit. You say, I'm getting farther away all the time. No, you're not getting farther away. You're becoming more mature. You say, well, I used to be real spiritual years ago. No, you're more spiritual now. You were less spiritual then, but you were such a baby you didn't know it. That's right. If all of us could see ourselves as we are, we'd quit. It doesn't hurt to ask God to give you a report card once in a while. It does not hurt because all of us get crusted over and mad at people and bitter and everything else, and what we need is a new dip from time to time. Boy, God has a way of running over your back with a cultivator. I'm telling you, you know you've been run over. Change. Thy changes went over me, Nebuchadnezzar said. Seven changes went over. Oh, brother. All right, you ready to go on? All right. God will finish the work if we don't get off the bus. If we don't say, Lord, I've had it, I'm not putting up with it anymore. If we stay with it and go through of all of our messaments and uproars and confusion, but if we stay in there and go with God and keep following Him, God will never change. He will bring us through whether we understand the path or not. Because we are God's elect. We are God's elect. We didn't decide this thing. Christ chose us. We didn't choose Him. That's Bible. We are God's elect, and God called us justified, called, glorified, the whole business. And if we just follow God and do what He says and put up with it all, and it's he that endures the end that shall be saved. If we hang in there in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, he will do what he said because we are his elect. We didn't start it ourselves. Now that's as Bible as anything ever was. Not democratic, but it's Bible. All right. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Everything Paul looked for was the day of Jesus Christ. The great hope of the early church was the day of Jesus Christ, and it's at hand. You always say, I heard somebody this morning talk about roar out of Zion. I said, where in the world did they ever get an expression like that? Third chapter, Joel. There's a lot of stuff ahead that we haven't experienced yet. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Now, I'm going to get into something here in a minute, so set yourselves and stay with me now. Because we have to say the negative as well as the positive. Are you with it? Can you take it? You can take it now. Come on, because I can't give you all the smooth stuff and do God's will. Not for you, not for me, not for the Lord. So, sorry, I don't like to be a garbage man. I don't like it. So we'll try. The thing to do with garbage is to put the thing in the can and then put the lid on. So we'll try to do that this morning. All right? You able to do it? All right, I know you are. All right. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. Now, you see the pulling together. You see, you are all in my heart and everything. Now, one thing, I want you to notice this word, defense of the gospel. Now, we notice that in our land today, there are many things that are not right, and saints, they are not right. And every once in a while, it comes our way, and we make mention of them. And it isn't on a level down here that we are criticizing anyone. We have no criticism to offer of any human being, saved or unsaved. I want you to know that. But when we are set for the defense of the gospel, that's another matter. Now, the whole book of Galatians is, shall I use the word, an attack on the Judaizers. And this is also true in Corinthians and also true in Romans. And Paul spared no pain when it came to defending the gospel. And I want you to know today there's a lot of stuff going on that is not gospel. And you're going to be hearing about it from me. And I am not one who goes on books of cults or anything of this. Wrong. If I finally end up, the only group that's right is us. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about we believe in the unity and someone else the Trinity and someone else eternal security and someone else you're hanging on for dear life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the darkness that is coming on where we have a super easy, I'm okay, you're okay, gospel, it is not of God. And listen, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now guess what that means? Exactly what it said. It doesn't mean that was for then or for the days of Noah. It means that when we get into any gospel, which is I'm okay, you're okay, super ease, we're all right, that's business as usual, because God's going to take us all up before we won't be comfy anymore, is not of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So much for that. Now I have another part of the garbage can. I'm going to put the lid on. We have got to watch when there is so much negativism in the land. I want to speak about one thing, and that is that it's come to my attention, although I've talked for about 4 years about gossip, we're still plagued with it. Now, saints, listen, dear ones, I will tell you this. I do believe that in San Diego, you know, each region is characterized by an angel, by angelic princes. Well, you know that from the Bible, from Revelation, other places. All right, now, different areas have different specific problems. One of them is San Diego is gossip. I'm quite sure that's true. I'm quite sure that's true. I want to tell you something about it. It is bad news. A dear saint called me up weeping and said, you know, what do I do? Someone just loaded me with garbage about another person. I don't want to hear that. You know, the rest of that day, I tried to get them back on the phone, and I thank God I didn't, because I was about to make some real unadministrative, uncool moves. Well, I'm calmed down, because we wish everyone's welfare, even whoever is gossiping. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. I know you're with me on this thing, and I know you're going to help me, because people that are bound in that, it is a real bondage, just like fornication or booze or anything else. It really gets into your spirit. Now, listen, it is potentially very, very harmful. We have, God is sending us some wonderful families to this church, and there are other people in the church, and I know there are burdens, and it wouldn't take much to tip them right out of the kingdom with an ill-advised word that you made, and it got back to them. Do you follow me? The pressures on them have them just like this, and all they need is to hear that someone in the church, and I think this is refined to just a very few, has said so-and-so, and it will tip the scales, and they will go down the tubes, and their blood will be on your head. It is very, very important. Now, hear me well. Then I'm going to be through with this. Put the lid on it. This person that called me up weeping, my counsel was, I said, you go and try to reconcile that person. Tell them that they are sinning, and if they won't hear you, I said, I don't want to know their name. I don't know what they said. I've got enough garbage. Praise the Lord. I don't want any more. I keep my head above. You know, I'm a worm. You know what worms do? Well, they kind of wade through the compost. They make good compost. Well, that's the way it is sometimes. And I don't want more. I don't want it to go over my head. I don't want it to go up to here. But I don't want it up here. So anyway, I said, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Don't spread it. It gave me a bad day, as it was. And I'm glad I didn't know. And I don't know, and I don't care to know. Because little things can die right there. But please, dear ones, I didn't even call back to find out they had done as I suggested. I said, if they will not repent, let me know who it is. And I think what I will do, if this person calls me back, there's been no repentance, I will go to the person who has been maligned. And I will tell them what was said. And then the both of us will go. We'll find out the source, and we'll go, and we will pray with you and ask God to deliver you because it is hurting us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now we can do it, saints. We can whip this thing, San Diego, Schmandiego. We can whip this gossiping thing. But I'll tell you what it's going to help. It's going to require all of us pulling together. So that if you hear anyone and they start to run down somebody, even if it's an unsaved person, or you hear rumors about a minister, if you have, and there's been no rumors about me so far as I know, so I'm not speaking out of any personal vexation. I don't really have a stake. I'm just concerned that I know that we have precious souls here, and I know we're not all perfect. I know that. And I'm not all perfect. And maybe if you find me out, you'll have something to say about me. And if you do, would you do this? Don't tell somebody else, come to me. And if I don't repent, then go to the elders. That's the way you handle this kind of stuff, isn't it right? Huh? Sure, you don't put the garbage out in your front step. You put it in a can, put the lid on it. And then the men come and take it away. Well, in that case, it's me and the elders. We're the garbage men. So you come and you tell us. And then we'll work within the Spirit of God, save the person that's doing wrong, and you get a blessing from the Lord. But if you tell another person, see, that's the snake in here. That's that snake. And you need that thing to be delivered out from your mouth. Now, come on, come on. We don't want to lose a soul. I don't know who's doing it. I don't care to know. Whoever is probably one of the hardest workers in the church, because it's probably someone with an awful lot of good and just one problem, because that's the way the rest of us are. An awful lot of good and just one problem. And that's what I'm talking about. So if you find your brother's nakedness, remember what the Bible says? If you don't look on your brother's nakedness. You remember that in the Old Testament? What that means is, when you see a fault, you right away, you know, if you want to discuss it with your husband or wife, and say, look, let's pray. But don't put it on the prayer line and say, guess what this one did and everything. And after about an hour of garbage, say, we should pray. Because that you're not, you say, I need to know that to pray. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. No, you do not. And don't let the devil tell you anything like that. All you need to know, if someone's got a bad problem, you can say, all you need to do is say, there's someone in the church and they have a real problem. I'm not even going to say who they are. Would you pray with me? That's all. God knows. And the rest of it is just the Blatterville Bugle. You ever hear that expression? That was one from my father. He had a lot of expressions like that. Yeah, they're really good. Blatterville Bugle. Well, that's... Look, let's see how we can handle it in love. If you're on the phone or somewhere and somebody starts to tell you something about it, I want to say, look, let's pray together. Not about the person that you're maligning, about you for saying it. See, or you could say, because what you're saying is worse than what they're doing, because what they're doing is their problem, but what you're doing is dividing the church of Christ.
listen, God is going to build up a testimony in this place. And don't you think the devil wouldn't like to cut this thing down the middle? Well, we've got to watch it. Roots of bitterness. So what you do is you say, look, let me pray with you. Just like if a friend said to you, you know, I'm really practicing fornication on the weekend. What would you do? Well, you go pray with them and say, look, let me pray. That's not right. Come on, why don't you go to the elders, get deliverance for that thing, and I'll pray with you. Let's get the victory over it. Well, if you hear somebody say, guess what so-and-so did, guess what? That's the same as if they're telling you they're committing fornication on the weekend. The only difference is fornication won't wreck the church, but that other will. See, James got these chapters on this thing. The tongue, and David. Oh, God, deliver me from the tongue! So, if you see this thing, realize this problem in San Diego, just say to that person, look, let's get the victory over this before we hurt somebody. Because all Christians are not so strong that I could even go for them and tell them what somebody said because they couldn't even take it. So it had to be very, very judicious on my part. But I think if you saw myself and someone on the doorstep and we said, could we come in? We said, this is what you said about us and really this is how it looks from our point of view and we're just wondering why you are hurting us in this way. I think that might help.
Amen.
Would that help? And that way it won't go any farther than just you and the person that you malign and myself. And I think that would be really good. And hopefully it won't come. I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt anybody or upset anybody. But we've got to get the victory over this thing. Amen? All right, let's put the garbage where it goes. Back in the can. Praise the Lord. All right. It says, the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. Now, we've had a lot of talking about love in our time. Isn't that so? The dear hippies, when they come forth, was love, 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 love. So much love that General Motors named a car Love. L-U-V, which is about the way they spell. Well, anyway, one of the kids can't spell L-U-V. All right, but that love is soulish, isn't it? It doesn't abound in real knowledge, and it doesn't abound in discernment. In fact, it tends to be blinding, because the love that will say, well, God cannot really do any harm at all, and he's a nice God, and he's very benign, and something like an old fumbler up there who wishes we would all try harder. That isn't any real knowledge, and it isn't discernment. The love of Jesus is very penetrating, and it looks into your heart, and it loves you, and it will tell you what is wrong. Is that love? Or does love say how nice you are, when the Spirit of God is saying, no, no, no? It takes something to feel the hotline of the Spirit. You've got to pray. You've got to stay before God. And when you feel that precious stream of life, then you have to announce the truth. That's the love of God. And it abounds in knowledge. The knowledge of the Holy. And it abounds in discernment. It gets into the things that are right and the things that are wrong. And it separates them so that we might be found ready in the day of judgment. Now that's love, saint. But anything that comes out from the soul and it's saying, oh, you're nice, that is a self-seeking thing. That's because we want people to like us. It isn't love at all. It's just an expression of selfishness. And especially on the part of a minister if he knows better. It would be nice if people liked me. But that's not the aim. The aim is so that they'll be ready for the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think that's true love. Well, I say, you know, I'm like everybody else. You come on my doorstep and say, Brother Thompson, you're committing this sin. There it is in the Bible. You think I'm going to run you off? I'll run you off. I'll say, well, come in thou blessed of the Lord. I didn't realize it. And I'll get down on my knees right there and have you put your hands on my head and pray for me. That's my attitude. I don't consider myself perfect. I try to walk with a heart that is open to God, because any one of us can do wrong. But the main thing is to be where we can be taught and corrected. I'm trying to stay there myself. All right, so we need knowledge and we need the discernment, and all of us need to be together working and helping one another, because there's a lot of darkness in the land. It says, so that you may be approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere.
Oh, I love that word. Our day is a day of insincerity, isn't it, saints? It tends to be a day of, have a good day and all these other things. That's nice. It's nice to be polite. It's nice to be courteous. And it's nice to have a blessing to people, but let's make sure that we are absolutely sincere in what we say. When the pulpit and the ministry of Jesus Christ and the church is no place for insincerity, saints. Let's get back to a simple-hearted thing. There's no place for a con in the church of God. There's no place for currying favor in the church of God. It doesn't exist in the image of Jesus. He never curried favor. He just told everybody exactly what it is. He did not sell. Jesus never sold. Seems as fast as he had people with him, he'd tell them something hard so they'd be sure and leave. That's right. There's no sell in Jesus Christ, but there is the truth. And let's have our words without con. Oh, that wound is still in our heel, so we can't stand upright. Brother and sister, we need God to heal that thing. So we can look every man straight in the eye and tell him exactly like it is. True, sincere, simple-hearted as a child. And if we have to con to get our way, we're off. When we're moving in God's will, we do not have to skirt the corners whatsoever. We can tell the absolute truth to the bank, the finance company, our husband and our wife and all our friends. We don't have to sell or prove a thing. Straight talk out of a pure heart. And no con, no jive, no jazz. All right, things that are sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. One day we had to have Doug's got a revelation on that blamelessness. I've been telling around town, I think it's really outstanding, about how God's going to get the spots and wrinkles out of his church. And I won't steal his sermon here. When he builds it up, have at it. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Are we filled with the fruit of righteousness today? The fruit of righteousness. The fruit of godly living. Godly behavior. Honesty. Meticulous honesty. Clean thoughts. I know no one in the church would read pornography. We get all of that out, that hellish stuff. Clean thoughts. Clean eyes. Righteousness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by the glory. They cause men to see our good works. Our good works. Our good works glorify God, and they will too. You can talk till you're blue in the face and pass out gospel tracts. What in the world does that mean? The world's waiting to see someone tell the truth. That when he says something, it's his bond, it's a contract, and you know he'll never deceive you. That's what the world's waiting to see. Good works, which are through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And then finally, this I'm finishing, and I want you to know this. Maybe someone needs this morning. I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances in this means being moved from his house to the guard barracks of the personal bodyguard of that part, that small unit, super elite unit of the Praetorian Guard, had caused the gospel to go all over the whole Praetorian and all over Rome and all over the place. So whatever has come your way, if you're in the Lord and praying and seeking his will, it will turn out to the furtherance of the gospel. June, it will turn. It does. It turns to the furtherance of the gospel. All things work together for good. If we'll just quit blaming people. Don't blame the people, the devil, or the government. Realize it's God. When you get moved out of your own hired house into the barracks. Praise the Lord. It caused Paul's word to go all over Rome. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you this morning. Lord, you're so wonderful to think, Lord, that you would come down and actually call out your people, Lord, and warn us and send light on our path so that we
could learn more about you, so that we could learn of your righteous ways. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we want to follow you. We're not worried, Lord, about physical suffering or popularity or anything else, Lord. Life's too short for that. But we are concerned that our hearts are right in your sight and that God is pleased. That God is pleased. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is anyone, maybe I was speaking about gossiping or running down other people and you find yourself doing that, would you like to slip up your hand? I'd like to pray for that this morning. That's some of the three hands. Are there any others? Five? Are there any others? Kind of an altar call, saints, and that's very, very important that we get after this thing. Are there any others? I've been praying. I'll tell you, while you're praying with me, I have been praying that God, wherever this is coming from, and we all fail in these things, and I can point anyone, that God will lift it and remove it from our assembly. And I don't want to lose any people, and I don't want to lose any families, but saints, I can't live with it personally. Either it will go, or I will go. And I don't want to go. I think this is where God wants me. But I know how dangerous a thing that is, and I'm here to tell you, I cannot live with it in the spirit. I love the people here, and I know the families, and if one of them was hurt, I'd never forgive myself. Saints, I'm praying that God will remove it from our assembly. Yes. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else now? Before you have to get it the hard way, is there anyone else? Now make sure. Don't go out before God and say, Lord, I'm going to do my thing, because God is very hard sometimes on the flesh that our spirit may be saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me see the hands of everyone that will agree with me as I pray for these who have lifted their hands. Thank you very much. Now, the church is with us on this prayer. Now, you know how serious it is. You know, we've all done a time or two, but I'm talking about a pervading bondage. Now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, you know how this, you laid this on my heart, Lord. I love these people. I don't want one to be hurt, Lord, or even anyone if they're bound in this to be hurt. I want us all saved and delivered, moving on with you, Lord, that we can enjoy the things of the Lord and not be found doing Satan's work in the church, accusing the brethren. Lord, we don't want any part of that satanic thing. Father, about six people, Lord, you see the hearts, have raised their hands that they have found themselves. Lord, we get drawn into the satanic thing because it's so much a part of Satan's device to harm the work of God and the precious children of the Lord as they're coming along. So right now, on their behalf, Father, as I promised, and in your name, the name of Jesus, the Lord, I come against you, Satan. I come against you, you devil of gossip, and I bind you at the root, you filthy thing, and you will leave this assembling of God's people. I bind you and I pronounce upon you the judgment of the God of heaven, and I cast you out in Jesus' name from the hearts of those who say yea and amen. I cast you out and I agree with them and with the church, and you will leave. We know you, you devil, that has bound God's people in this area, and we judge you as unworthy of the kingdom, and you shall not partake in the kingdom of God. As we march on with our Lord, we will not thrust another. We will walk on arm in arm, and we will serve God. In the name of Jesus, we drive you from the camp. Hallelujah. And let the awe of our God be upon us, that we will walk free from the accusations of the devil. Hallelujah. Feel a victory here, saints. I feel that God has dealt with this thing. Praise His precious name. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Jesus, oh, what a blessing, what a blessing. Amen. Amen. How many feel at peace this morning? Oh, glory. Barakah Hashem.
Now, Father, enter into our hearts with thy wonderful love. God, you make your sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. You send your rain upon, Lord, the good and the bad. You love your enemies. You bless them that spit in your face. God, help us, Lord, to partake. Send to us from heaven that forgiving, loving spirit, O God, that we can rise above personal affronts, Lord. Lord, don't let us be judges. Just give us thy spirit of grace, Lord. Thank you, Father. We receive it now. We receive the ability in Jesus Christ to refrain from this kind of thing, Lord, to gain perfect victory through your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All the glory's up here on this platform. I hope some's down there. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do one more favor, if you will. Tonight we will be preaching up in Palo Alto, and we need all the prayers we can get. If that area does tend to be an ungodly area, and we know we've been there and we felt the violence in the air. We know that judgment will be. We feel that judgment definitely will be coming along these areas of our United States that have rebelled against God. So. But we want to do the good that we can. We want to be able to say what God wants said with love and the truth, that all those saints there may worship God and go on and get a true word. Now, I can't do that. I'm a human. I have no power to do anything. But in the Spirit, God can do things. Praise the Lord. So we want to bear a true witness. We want the people to be a burning and a shining light. So I was just wondering if you'd just stretch forth your hands toward me where you are, and I'm going to ask Hank Vandersloos, if he will, to just pray that your blessing and your prayers will go with me tonight. We're going to be having a good service here, and good preaching and singing and things, and Karen will be giving her testimony and so on. Wall will be preaching, so that we have a good service here. So just be praising the Lord and come praying. But we will be up kind of doing missionary work, and just on this Sunday night, that Palo Alto has no full gospel work, saints. Do you know that there are towns in that area just north of Palo Alto that boast that they have no filling station and no church? Suburban areas that boast that they have no church. A little full gospel work started in Palo Alto and a time back, but now today there are Eichler Apartments with a beautiful church with a Christian school. Beautiful Pentecostal church. Today there are Eichler Apartments on that ground. So as far as we know, there is no full gospel work. And so there's some friends of ours in Gillies and another young man that are starting a full gospel work in Palo Alto. They've asked to come up and minister tonight and lend our support with them. So we would appreciate your prayers, because Palo Alto needs God. Praise the Lord. One of a lot of wonderful people in Palo Alto. And Hewlett Packard's there too. So some of the engineers here can really feel that there's people there that God wants to save, and so he can do it through your prayer. So maybe if you stretch forth your hand toward me, and I'll ask Hank, if he will, to offer prayer on our behalf. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. Thy blessing, thy wisdom, Lord. Thy wisdom, thy wisdom, Lord. Let it be thy will and the truth to reveal. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
We thank you, O Father, for the goodness and the love you have given to us down here in the understanding, O Father. that we may ask you, Lord, to bring them safely home, Lord, Lord, that we may be set tonight and worship you in the freedom, O Lord, that we have. But we will be out here, Lord God. We thank and we praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're dismissed.